You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Bless you, Father. We'll give you all glory, all praise, all honor. Your name deserves it, Lord. Your name is a strong tower that we can run into and be safe, God, because you've made us righteous. Yes, Lord. We run into the strong tower of your name, Jesus. Lord, during this weekend, to honor warriors of our country, God, we would ask that you be seated and have those that have been in the military to stand so we can honor them. Father, those that have been warriors, Jesus, for our country, God, we honor them, Lord. We honor them, Lord. Yes. We bless them, Jesus. And Father, we take the example they had in the natural, God, and sacrificed for our country, God. We step forward as warriors to sacrifice our lives for your kingdom. They served their country, and we honor that, God, for a season. Lord, we serve your kingdom every moment of every day, forevermore. We step forward into that, God, as your warriors. Now everyone can stand up. So, Father, we know that even during the wars that our nation has been in, many soldiers carried a small New Testament, but they had Psalm 91, sometimes on jewelry. Sometimes in their heart. God, we're wanting you to refresh that in our hearts in this season of battle against an unseen enemy, God, that is terrorizing the earth. Jesus, we refresh the message of Psalm 91. We will never tire of it. It is our anthem. It is our song. It is our protection more than we know to declare it out, God. We should never be tired of declaring such promises over our lives. We know you will back it up in us, God. It says so. And we receive that from your heart today. So as each person is standing here, young and old, and those across the earth that are hearing this broadcast, stand and receive from the mighty God, our warring God, the one that can defeat any enemy. Nothing is too powerful against our God. He can swat it away like a gnat. At any moment, he could end this plague like he did the 10 plagues of Egypt. Just end it. Just end it. He decides when the end is, but we can declare into it now. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Put your arms on like this. That's his arms over you. You're under those arms, the shadow of the Almighty. He stands in front of you, and the shadow of himself, or the shadow of his arms, his wings, cover over you. And that means something. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. You, Lord, are our refuge and our fortress. Never has there been a greater fortress, a greater place in the cleft of the rock that we can come to. My God, in you I will trust. Surely you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Fowler is a hunter that catches birds. Typically snares their feet to capture them. That's what the enemy does, tries to do to us. Snare our feet so we can't go anywhere. We trip over ourselves. We're ensnared. We can't move. But he delivers us, it says. And from the perilous pestilence, COVID-19, die in Jesus' name. We have a deliverer. We have a deliverer. We have a warrior. This Memorial Day weekend, we have someone warring for us. You shall cover us with your feathers. Put them out there. He's going to cover us with his feathers. He's going to shield us with his feathers. His feathers are not like the feathers of a bird. You can't penetrate them to get to whatever child, whatever little gosling, whatever little ducky is under those feathers. You can't get through those feathers. And under your wings, we shall take refuge. Picture that in your heart. Picture that in your spirit. He's your refuge. He's your mighty refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. A buckler is a small shield that the warrior puts out in front of him, usually with the left hand. God will be that shield for us. Nothing gets past that shield. Nothing. Nothing. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. What can walk but a demon? If it's an entity of the darkness. But he says, we won't be afraid. When that demonic force is walking around, seeking whom he can devour, we are not to be afraid. Nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You hear the reports by noon of what on the earth has happened with this virus. The previous day, the previous night. But you don't have to be afraid. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Declare it out. It will not come near me. It will not come near me. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. We have a different reward than natural people living in natural ways on the earth. We have a supernatural reward from living supernaturally under the power of the Holy Spirit. because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. This is a time to dwell inside the strong tower. Don't be so distracted by all the reports. Dwell in this season. Find a place to dwell in his heart. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. How many promises do we need? Only one. But this psalm gives far more than just one promise. No evil shall befall you. Let's say it. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Come on, angels! Come on, heavenly host! You're part of this to protect us. He sends them to us. We don't worship them, but we'll take their extra layer of protection. They'll be in charge over us, not the enemy, to keep you in all God's ways. I've changed a few of the pronouns here in case you missed that, just so it fits what we're saying this morning. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The angels are going to lift you up from some attack. Think about that. Lift you up so you don't hit yourself up against a plague, up against something that would harm you, up against something that would trip you. They just lift you up so it doesn't happen. You kind of glide through these things if you're fully putting yourself in the hands of the Lord. He uses angels to protect you from stubbing your toe against the attacks, whatever happens. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Any enemy, natural or above the natural, it comes against you, you'll be able to stomp on it. Does this sound too good to be true? Not to the person that receives the indwelling faith of the Holy Spirit inside, just receives all of that springing up inside. Because he has set his love upon you, therefore he will deliver us. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Jesus, you set us on a high place that the enemy can't touch us, because we've known your name. We raise up your name for all glory. Should go through your day thanking him, blessing his name. It puts you in a higher place. It puts you in a place that's untouchable by the enemy. That's what it says. He shall call upon me. I will call upon you, Lord, and I will answer him. You will answer me. Have you prayed about it? Yes, I've prayed about it. But have you heard anything back? Because he answers. He answers. Lord, I'm fearful right now. Help me. He answers back. I am your sheltering wing. I am your strong tower. I am your king, your deliverer. He only has good things to speak back to us of protection, of power, of overshadowing, of strong tower. Oh, it rhymes. I will be with him in trouble. You will be with me in trouble. Bible says we'll always have trouble. But it also says he'll bring us to the end of it. He'll bring us through it. There's a Red Sea in front of you. Boop! He opens it up. There's a burning bush that leads you to further destiny. He makes a way. I will deliver him and honor him. Do you deserve honor? It's not many answering. We don't deserve honor, but God gives us honor. Did you know that? He honors you to be with him in heaven, even though we don't deserve it, because of Jesus who paid the way and makes up all the difference. He honors us by inviting us to his banqueting table. We don't deserve it, but he offers that to us. Yes, he honors us all the time and delivers us. With long life, I will satisfy him. Let's declare it. With long life, you will satisfy me. I think we need that one again. With long life, you will satisfy me. I drove through the healing rooms on Friday night just to receive prayer, and one of the things they spoke over Pastor Mary Pat and myself is long life. Long life. Now you should all be shouting the high praises of God. I'm watching to see who's going. And with long life I will satisfy him. With long life you will satisfy me, God. And show me your salvation. Let's declare that last line out. And show me your salvation. You know, salvation is not just a one-time receiving Jesus event. It goes on. It goes forward. It has life in us. It's not just a testimony of a particular decision on a particular day in our past. It's ongoing and has power in our life. He will show salvation to us. This is all salvation when he protects us against the pestilence, when he puts his wing over us, when we're behind his shadow that the enemy can't get to us. It's all part of his salvation. We bless you and your households, your co-workers, your friends, any acquaintances, even your enemies, with the promises of Psalm 91 and unto the nations as well, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. I can't hear you. Amen. Much better.
In this season when Psalm 91 seems to be coming in a greater alive. It's more alive than ever before. It's not new to many of us, but it seems as though we're camping there. But the Lord is saying, with that, as we're decreeing and declaring all these promises, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 16, the Lord says through Paul, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So when we talk about our mind and our wills and our emotions and our feelings, we must take this in context and realize that Paul is speaking about in this chapter his reliance on Holy Spirit. The whole chapter is all about my reliance on Holy Spirit. Paul is telling us about this. We're going to celebrate communion together today with Psalm 91 in our hearts so deeply. But we all, in that, we want to be aware of what the Lord's doing in this season. What's he doing? What's he saying? What is he saying to each one of us? What's he saying at large? What's he saying? Hold fast to your confession of faith. In that first chapter, that first section, first 16 verses of chapter 2, which would be the whole chapter, actually goes on to say, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And this is a time, beloved, of great joy and great celebration, even in the middle of a pandemic, because we know that the Lord is saying, I'm here, I'm aware, and I'm meeting every need. This is a season of great outpouring, a season of great fire, a season of great freedom, a season where he's speaking so deeply to our hearts. He's saying, I'm setting things up. I want your eyes to see. And maybe you haven't seen before, but your eyes are going to see more of what I'm doing right now. So actually, it's a very exciting time. We have a picture up on the wall. I don't know if we can see it online or not, but it's a picture of an inferno. It's a picture of fire. And the Lord is saying, I am coming. I have sent my son Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we're in an unprecedented season, an unprecedented time, where the Lord is saying that the great joy that was set before Jesus, who endured the cross, is filling us up with fresh anointing. I believe, and we do here, and we're in agreement with those who love Jesus so much around the world, that we have entered into a new realm, a new season. There's a new anointing. There's a greater release from heaven to be able to not only decree and declare Psalm 91, but to see it moving and activated and happening in our own lives and the lives of people around us. So that what we're doing and experiencing right now is going to take a step for us. We're going to participate, and then we're going to be able to see the great end time harvest. You know, we've been talking about a billion or multi-billion soul harvest. It's upon the Lord. He tells his prophets what he's doing in advance. And he tells his apostolic authorities also what's going on. And when there's proper alignment, oh my gosh, nothing can hold back his hand. Nothing can anyway. But the enemy cannot override anything, because people will come into the fullness with the mind of Christ and the power of the Spirit of the living God. So there's a fire being released. We have just finished a season where there's been a literal passing over like we've never had before since the very beginning, really, in Exodus. And we'll hear more about that. In Exodus chapter 12, the people of God were actually putting the blood and the lentils on their doorposts and saying, just pass by us with this plague. And the Lord saw and released his favor. And there was such a unification at that time. But never since then has there been anything in the history of the church. Hear me, beloved. Never since then until now has there been anything like that. And here we are, kind of quarantined, sequestered in our homes. Many of us in some nations, it's very different than even right here in the United States. And honestly, people have been communing around the blood of the Lamb, communing around the bread of the Lamb, communing around the sacrifice of the Lamb, where the centrality of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done would become the cornerstone of their hearts in new and refreshing ways. That happened back at the very beginning of the early church in Acts chapter 4. That's what people were doing. After Jesus rose, after he was crucified, and the church just took off, and the Lord said, I'm going to baptize you in the Spirit, and he did. And then his people gathered together, and they stayed together. They stayed together, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they're celebrating and breaking bread every time. That's what we're doing. We're seeing, as a result of God's providence, and also what's going on with, we're kind of separated, but yet not in heart. And there has been a revival of this concentration and release of what the Lord says the purpose of communion is, the purpose of what we're doing. Why are we doing what we're doing? The Lord wants us to see the results from standing on Psalm 91. He wants us to encourage each other and be able to know that what he says goes and what he's doing will happen. Right now, after being at the Send in Brazil on February 8th, right now, things are turning upside down. They're so difficult in Brazil. We talk almost every day, virtually every day. different things are happening. But yet we were standing with others. We're 150,000 in three simultaneous events, three different stadium events were happening. And we're cheering and saying, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. And we're watching the explosion of the power of God and the hearts of people. And now they're in their houses and they can't go anywhere. What's going on? Do you think the Lord is dismayed? Do you think he's distraught? No. He knows what's happening. So as we stand for the end of coronavirus, we say, Lord, we participate in what you're doing in the spirit. That's what Paul was saying. And he was saying this in 1 Corinthians 2. He's saying he relied fully on the Spirit of God and he sought the Lord. And this is after what the Lord did in the upper room. And I believe the Lord is putting us together, pulling us together. And he says, who will go before me to spend time with me in the upper room? Where are the ones who will contend with me to contend for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God? Not just here in Frontline, but around the world, beloved. That's where we are. There is a fresh anointing for a real Pentecostal experience, even beyond what we've ever experienced before. Those of us who've been immersed in the power of the Spirit, immersed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a place of fire that's right here upon us. And the Lord is saying, contend, beloved, with the saints around the world. Contend with those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear, those who are believing the word of God, those where the people are saying to the Lord himself, anything, I'll do anything you say. I will go anywhere. I will do anything. My comfort is not going to rely and push me forward. It's going to be what you're saying and what you're doing because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of my testimony, which declares, as the sons of Issachar did, I will inquire of the Lord, and you will tell me what you're doing, where we are, and where we're going. Oh, so when we are celebrating Yeshua HaMashiach, when we are celebrating the blood of the Lamb, and we're celebrating in this time of the blood covenant being restored in people's hearts more and more, we will position ourselves for what God is saying, I'm pouring out. Oh, I was laughing so much last night. I was listening to things that are going on online, enjoying, and in seeing that in this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is right here, you can sense and hear and feel the rumblings of God himself. The joy that was set before Jesus, the joy, the inner joy is just being released in us. It's a sobering time, but it's a sobering time filled with joy. And the people in the upper room, they were there and they were waiting. It's time for us, beloved, to draw the line in the sand, because Jesus already has. The Lord is saying, I'm looking for that company of people. I'm looking for the ones who will say, that's what you're doing, count me in. That's where you are, I want to be part of that. He's bringing proper alignment with the apostolic and the prophetic, and he's moving things and changing things so that we will be able to absolutely embrace all that he has. So when we put things together, as there's a puzzle for us to be able to see, the Lord says, just come into my presence, and you will have the eyes to see. You will have the ears to hear. You will be counted as my burning one. You will be the one who is let free out of the cage to be able to free others, to be able to come into the same type of revelation. This is the season of increased revelation. This is a time where the Lord says, I want to change your thinking. I want to change your mind. I want the mind of Christ to be the highest priority in you, so that you are thinking my thoughts. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And I have declared that there's something very special coming. You'll hear more about it after communion, what God seems to be doing around the world that we're saying yes and amen to. He says, I don't want you to have your heads buried in the sand. I don't want you to be too busy. I don't want you to be wrapped up in things of your natural circumstances and surroundings. I want you to hear what I'm saying and doing. And then when that becomes revelation, ho, you become a mighty force that the enemy will try to stop at all costs. He does, but he won't and he can't. Oh, because the fire of the Most High God will be upon you. You will hear his voice. You will know. You will not be going back and forth. You will be in tandem and working and cooperative with those you fellowship with. And there will be a straight shooting synergy of power. And that's for us today. And we're in that right now. It may not be a one-time event. I'm not God. Nobody is. Nobody knows. It may be this new era that we're in. It may start right now because this literal Passover took place at the beginning of April. And 50 days forward is Pentecost. And we're here. It's this week. Do you realize that? This Thursday, this Friday, and people all over the world are saying, yes, God, what are you doing? You did it for Passover. You're going to do it for Pentecost. And I'm all in. Jesus, I'm all in. What does that look like? What do I need to see? Oh, Jesus. So as we look forward to that, but we're in it now, we want to be the burning ones that are contending for what God's doing. Contending. And we're not going to change something that is not changeable from God. We're going to listen to the Lord because he knows what he's doing. And he's trying to move every bit of issue and difficulty out of our lives so that the fire of the Pentecostal Holy Spirit is going to be burning up everything inside so that we can go and we can go and we can go. We can go. And then we'll be able to truly say, I obey God rather than man. Amen? Amen. So we transition into a time where we solemnly and lovingly and joyfully and in a heartfelt way celebrate. And we encourage you to do this in your homes daily. This is what he's doing. He's encouraging us. It's not a have to. It's a privilege to be in the center of what he's doing. Jesus Christ, him crucified. This is the cross plate right now, the centerpiece of history. And he's saying, I am being elevated. Watch what I'm doing. This is your time, beloved, to participate with us. Because we give you all glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So Lawrence is coming to lead us where we're going next. We'll see what God has. Because it's mighty hot in here. I don't think it's just the natural heat. This is the fire of God. And he's saying, where are my burning ones? Where are my burning ones? And I'm going to burn you so much that you aren't going to be able to stop. This is the crazy radical life of the burning ones of Jesus Christ who will see what he's doing now and not make excuses, beloved. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God.
I want to enter a time of communion by going through a passage. It's something that's familiar to all of us, but I think it's really appropriate for the season that we're in. It's in Philippians 4. It starts in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I was meditating on this passage. It's been on my heart for weeks now. And the thing that the Lord keeps reminding me, especially during a time of communion, is that the whole point of communion is to bring us back to that place. And the challenge I feel like the Holy Spirit's put on my heart and what I want to offer to you today is, what are you dwelling on in this season? That I believe that we as believers are called to dwell on those things that are excellent. That in this season, here's what I believe the Lord has for us today, is that He's going to use this time of communion to bring us back, to anchor us to that place of dwelling on who He is and what He's done. And the prophetic promise that He spoke to me this morning is that when this entire pandemic thing is behind us, what is your response going to believe? I believe that there are going to be people of the world that are going to come out of this with this sense of relief, with the sense of it's finally over, the fear can finally pass. But what I believe the Lord has for us today is our testimony is going to be that my God walked with me through this, that I was never alone, that I walked in the light, in the grace of who Christ is through that entire season, that it was evident to me that He was with me. So when the disciples sat with Jesus in communion, He said, do this in remembrance of me. That we are going to take this time of communion and we are going to draw back into the presence of God. We are going to dwell on the excellence of the sacrifice of Christ. The fact that His body was broken for you, that His blood was poured out so that you could be justified, so that you could be made blameless and whole and complete. That's what we're doing as we partake in communion. We're remembering, we're dwelling on who He is. What is your testimony in this season? What are you dwelling on in this season? Is your testimony, my God is with me. I walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That I am filled with the peace that surpasses all understanding and a joy that gives me strength. That everything that we do as believers is called to report, to demonstrate who He is. So what are you dwelling on? What is your heart filled with today? I believe that as we take this time, and you should all have the communion with you at your station, that in this time and in this season, that the Lord wants you to dwell on the goodness of who He is. That as we're going to take communion this morning, that there's going to be something that He wants to remind you of, a character of who He is, something that He's providing for you in this season. He wants us to dwell on those things, that is the testimony of who we are as sons and daughters. And so I'm going to have Ashley come up, and we're just going to enter this time, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, so that you can step into a place of remembering who He is. That we can access the throne room of grace simply by dwelling on His goodness. And allow that body that was broken and the blood that was poured out to remind you of who you are as a son and as a daughter. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we just come before You now, and we just thank You so much for who You are, Lord God. Thank You that we have the opportunity to come before You and dwell before You and just sit and listen. Lord, I thank You that You speak. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are constantly with us, that You never leave us in every step of the way that we go, Lord God. In the midst of everything that's been going on with this pandemic, Lord, we just thank You that You've been present. You've been Jehovah Rapha throughout this whole thing, Lord God. We just thank You, Jesus, for Your 700 names and titles and more that we have access to because of Your action to go to the cross. We just thank You, Lord, and we're in this time of remembrance of what You did on the cross for us, that Your body broke for us, that Your blood was shed for us. Jesus, we just thank You, Lord God. And as we take this communion, we just thank You that this bread and this juice reminds us of that we can come before You and remember that you are holy. You are worthy of every part of us, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We just thank you that you're increasing our understanding and widening our discerning heart to be able to see you in the midst of the throne. You're the Lamb who was slain. We can't stop singing about you. We can't stop responding to you, God. This is our time to come into close intimacy with you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The privilege of communing with God like this is going to touch us in the places that need to be touched. This privilege is going to spill over into other areas of our life where we will develop through this a place of knowing and feeling the privilege that it is to love him, to serve him. He will be able to come, and he is, comes inside and helps us see what needs to be stirred. He's the one that stirs up our hunger. He's the one that stirs up our desires. He's the one. He's stirring us right now. He's stirring us up. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Stir us up. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That as we tabernacle with you, Lord, everything you are would become our highest aim. Humility, hope, righteousness, joy, peace, your glory, Lord. We are in a John 17 moment in history, particularly. I think it's verse 22. Let me check it out. Let me read it. Jesus, this is where you're taking us. Let me just read this scripture for you. Verse 21. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. 23, I in them, and you in me, and they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. When we desire to step into those places of unity and say, God, I need revelation. I need understanding. I need to know who you are and what you're saying, so that as I'm ministering, even to my family, even to my roommates, I'm ministering out of John 17, 21, 22, 23, saying, God, I want the understanding. I want the mind of Christ like Paul. I want that for my life. I want your fire. I want my life to be exuding your fiery love, your fiery presence. That's what I want. So that I'm not stagnant, that I'm filled with hope and I'm filled with authenticity. Oh, to be able to see what you're doing when everything inside of me might scream and say, oh no, you know what the fire of God will do? The fire of God will burn up those places that are screaming, where we feel unsettled. That's what the fire of God will do, to be able to release us into a place of saying, sure, whatever. Oh, and that's a place of real freedom. It's a place where Paul lived. It's a place where Paul said we can live, but way beyond. Can we see this? Can we see that he's stirring us in this season, saying, there's more, there's more, there's more. There'll be many voices. There'll be many voices who say many things. And they will try to confuse you so that you will not be able to hear the one true voice who will take you into the place of true freedom through this fiery, fiery release inside of us. Jesus already came. He's the baptizer. Baptizer in Holy Spirit and fire. Next time we take a walk, next time we're out mowing the lawn, ask the Lord, am I filled with your fire and I'm overwhelmed with your fiery goodness and presence, God? Do I desire more? Is there some place in me that you want to remove so that I am not in confusion, so that I am truly connected with your voice, that I'm willing to see and hear what you're doing right at the moment, what you're doing at the moment? That's where you want to be. And it won't feel so good sometimes, but that's what Jesus says is our portion. Yes, God. You're going to bring us through this place. We're so privileged to live in a society where we can actually throw our net to the other side. Just as Jesus said in John chapter 21, he said, hey, Peter, throw your net to the other side. You want to catch some fish? Do it my way. You want some peace in your heart? Do it my way. It's not working in the way that you think. In fact, John the Beloved in that chapter recognized Jesus. We want to recognize Jesus. What are you doing and saying? And that will bring us into a place of real humility. It doesn't just defend our place and what we think and what we believe. That's futile, because we'll get to learn those lessons again. God will give us another opportunity. But in this time, when John, the disciple of Jesus, saw, it's like, that's Jesus. He's there. I see him. We're in the boat. Can't you see him? Peter didn't. Peter was too cerebral at first. And then he realized, oh my God. And we're in a season of, oh my God, get your minds off of COVID-19 in and of itself. Do the stuff, do what we're supposed to do. Get your mind on things above. Set your mind on glorious Jesus right now. Because I'm telling you, this is a moment in history that God is saying is for us. Don't be fooled and don't be foolish. Don't be foolish in this season. Listen and hear and be willing to step into something new and fresh. Because he's shaking us up. We can't just say anything that will be shaken and not think that he's not shaking us. He is. He's shaking us. He's shaking us in every area. Okay, in our time, with our focus, what we're doing. Don't tune out This is what the Lord says when he encourages us in Revelation in chapter 2 and 3. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he's speaking right now to the church across globally at large. And one of my greatest desires is that our frontline family and anyone who's with us and listening would say, yes, I'm paying attention. I want to know, what are you doing, God, beyond my world and my realm and what I'm attending to? What are you doing? I want the bigger picture. I want to see. I want to see what you're doing. And when Peter, John, and the rest of the disciples followed the way of Jesus, they brought in the exact number of fish. Their net was being stretched, but they brought in the fish, and Jesus was already there on the shore, and he already had fish that were frying. Where'd he get them? Come on. And some bread. Come on, boys, sit down. It's like, oh my gosh, I think they were discombobulated. I'm sure they were. But he was preparing them to go out into the world to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Oh my, it's no accident that a 40-day global fast was called without knowing that there would be COVID-19. It's no accident that we have a literal Passover for the first time since Exodus. Come on, that's not an accident. It's no accident that 50 days later we celebrate Pentecost, which is this week, which is an opening up of the new territory and season. It's no accident. I was like, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? We have to know. We do have a writing about this. If you don't have it and you want to be on our mailing list and get it, let us know. Those of you who are watching at home or somewhere else. But I just want to draw attention as we wind down here to Matthew 3, 11 through 13 in the Amplified. See, he says, Jesus says, it's spoken, I indeed baptize you with water. Okay, this is about the beginning of Jesus coming. Okay, this is John the Baptist, actually. I indeed baptize you in and with water because of repentance. That is because of your changing your minds for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence for your past sins. Think about that. Oof. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And beloved, when we camp also in Ephesians 3:16, let me read this verse. Take this. Ephesians says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself. Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being in personality. That means the Holy Spirit is wanting to do something right now. He's not just speaking to just speak. He's speaking to be listened to. He wants us to listen to him and follow him. He's saying, I want a response from you. Don't miss this. I believe this with everything inside my heart, that we're right here. And we need to listen to those who really are hearing and not resist. Listen. And he'll tell you. He will tell you, because he's no respecter of persons. But he is speaking to those who have ears to hear. Thank you, Jesus. I will come after this. This is so beautiful in Joel. I will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days. We're entering into those days. And it says, and they will all prophesy. When you read that in the Acts 2 account. So, we are in a Joel 2 beginning and an Acts 2 continuation. Okay? See the bridge. See it come together. And Joel was speaking about the Jews. Joel was speaking about what it would be like. He was speaking about the last of the last days, but it needed to start somewhere. And so this was the opening to Acts chapter 2. It's the beginning. So if we think only linearly, and we think, okay, this is what you did, this is what you're doing, and ba-boom, 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 we may miss the very understanding of how we are with Jesus making history together, but he's in charge. Go figure. So this is a historical time. This is not a little thing. Historical time. And I don't want any of us to miss this. So that Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:17 and 18 are understood, but more than that, they're received. So I encourage you this week on Thursday and Friday to watch and be part of what's going on worldwide with people who are listening and hearing and praying. And I believe there is going to be power that's released where you won't even understand this, which will continue to grow beyond what you're hearing and receiving today. But it's already begun. It's already begun. So this is a very, very beautiful season that we're in. And I know that we have a couple things that are mentioned up here. I don't know if we can see it up there. But we have what's called the outpouring. And there has been a movement that's been going since even before COVID. But people are now going, oh, wow, I get it. I see. That's what's happening. Oh, my gosh. God, I hate it that COVID-19 is here and people are hurt. But now we're kind of forced to use the internet in ways that we never did before. We're kind of pushed and kicked like little kids. Like, come on, get out of the nest. It's time, little birdie. It's time to see what I'm doing. Okay, that's what's been going on. So there have been many other gatherings. This is one you don't want to miss as well. This is called the outpouring. In our handout that, or our written form of some things that will bless you and encourage you, there was one we weren't aware of until, for me, last night. I didn't see it. I'd heard about it, but I didn't see it. And so there is one, not the outpouring, which you can go to the next one, unless that was already up. But there's one on Friday, and it's a place where there'll be many people, many leaders from around the world will be gathering. And the times are unique, and I'll just mention them here so I have it. May 28th, Thursday, 8 a.m. is the outpouring that you saw. It's a prayer meeting, but it's more than a prayer meeting, as we think prayer meetings. It's a gathering where we pray into and say, God, now what? I'm right here. I'm in a time of prayer and fasting during these 50 days. Why are you doing this? I don't know. Why are you connecting the Arabs and the Israelis? And why are you connecting people around the world? Because you're God and you want me to see. On Friday, May 29th, 10 in the morning, this is Eastern Standard Time, 10 to 12, is going to be the celebration of the Jewish Pentecost on Thursday and Friday, depending on who you're talking to. So it's a season, okay? And whether it's a one-time thing and God crashes in the way we think he should or would, and we'd love it, we're not God, but he is speaking to everyone the same thing. So he's saying, come, beloved, come to my table, come to my banqueting table. Make time for me. These are unprecedented times, these 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. And you know, back when the Jewish people were huddled in their homes because they couldn't celebrate anything. Okay, they were just scared. And the Lord passed over them, or the enemy, through the hand of the Lord to be able to bring about his next place in the Spirit. Oh, wow. We need to unpack this even more, and we don't have time on this broadcast to do it, but we can. If you get this will be a start for many of you. Just let us know. Give us your email. So we're stepping in. We're going to close today worshiping the Lord. We want to worship, so if our worship team can come up, who's already there, way to go, so that we can take part in this modern day, so to speak, Holy Spirit baptism, refreshing us. Don't spend your time, beloved, saying, oh, Holy Spirit already came. He's not doing anything else. If you're stuck there, may I suggest to you, get this, read it, and humble yourself before the Lord and say, what are you saying? Because the Holy Spirit is not stuck anywhere. And he's moving, and he's fiery, and he's here with us. And he's saying, you want who I am, but I'm going to make myself known to the hungry ones, to the upper room junkies, to the ones who love my communion heart. Okay? He's saying these are the days of Elijah, and there's so much going. But he doesn't tell us to not do the dishes. He doesn't tell us to stop doing things that we're doing. No. He says, pay attention to what is on my heart. And with that, then you go and you do what you should do so you don't hinder anybody else. We have to see. He is not short-sighted. The Lord is so smart. He's saying, come on, guys, all hands on deck. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. He will define for you in this season what ministry to him and to others really looks like while he burns up anything that gets in the way. That's his desire. So the only thing left in us is a beating heart for Jesus. Come on. Are we together? Are we together in this? Let's worship the Lord. Let's be on our feet, those who are here at home. We want to worship the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. It will take us into that place. And Tuesday, we'll see you at 7 o'clock online. Not in this building, in our house.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.